Walker, Dave, and
you may proceed.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, good morning. My name is Robert Lofton from McGuire Woods. On behalf of the appellant, Dominion Nuclear Connecticut Incorporated, sir, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, please. This is not an insurance coverage case. This is a breach of contract case involving a services contract with an indemnification provision. The issue is whether this indemnification provision created a duty on the part of the appellee, Securitas, to defend, indemnify, and hold Dominion harmless as against the Brandenburg complaint filed and currently pending in Connecticut State Court. The trial court erred in interpreting and applying this services contract and erred in its summary judgment rulings. This court reviews these errors de novo, and Dominion now asks you to reverse the trial court, conclude that Securitas owes Dominion a complete duty to defend, indemnify, and hold it harmless as to the Brandenburg complaint, and remand the case back to Chesterfield Circuit Court for calculation of Dominion's damages, including its costs and attorney's fees.
But the power plant can't be liable under the comparative fault standard for any negligence of the plaintiff or any negligence in this one case. So I'm not understanding why the to the extent qualifier isn't immediately triggered. In other words, to the extent the power plant can be liable for the security company or its employees, which would be joint tort fees or liability if it's anything, to that extent you get full indemnity, not partial indemnity. But if it's zero, you don't get any indemnity.
Well, it's Justice Kelsey, the first question is not the question of indemnity. The first question is whether a duty to defend is owed.
Okay, well, it actually applies to the extent applies to both. So,
well, yes, I think it does, Your Honor, but I think when you look at the contract in context, to the extent is not the limitation that the trial court concluded it was. And it does not somehow invoke or impart comparative negligence into this contract.
Well, let me break it down then. Suppose this to the extent language was the you and me, and I said, to the extent you or any of your people cause me liability, I want full indemnity. Even if I'm 99% at fault, you're 1% at fault. I still want 100% indemnity. If you sue me and I'm not liable at all, either on a joint tortfeasor sharing principles liability or on a comparative fault with a contrib argument, then why would to the extent even be implicated?
Well, it wouldn't, because you would still have under the what you just articulated. I mean, that completely comports with Dominion's argument that that's an if-then statement. If something happens, then you have a duty to respond and defend and indemnify.
Well, the if is if your negligence or your employee's negligence trigger my liability. But if I can't ever be liable as a matter of law for your negligence or your employee's negligence, then there's no liability to the extent of the indemnity.
But that's not what this indemnity provision says. And I think if you look at the indemnity provision, the contract is twice in the appendix. We're talking about Article 15, which is at Joint Appendix page 75 and Joint Appendix page 124. It's very, very broad in how it shifts loss from Dominion to Securitas. And I want to talk about the other provisions in the contract that I think support Dominion's interpretation of Article 15. But looking first at Article 15, it says, to the extent arising from the negligence, gross negligence, or willful misconduct of supplier who's Securitas, a subcontractor, or supplier or subcontractor's employees and agents, supplier agrees to indemnify, defend, and hold harmless purchaser, which is Dominion, purchaser's affiliates, which is defined below in the article, and each of their respective directors, officers, employees, contractors, and agents, each an indemnity, from and against any and all claims, demands, lawsuits, or other proceedings brought or threatened. So it's not even just a claim that's brought, but a claim that's threatened by any party including but not limited to an indemnity, supplier, subcontractor, or their employees and agents, each a claim. And then and then it goes on and it talks about all the costs.
But let's focus on the language that terms this case one way or the other. To the extent arising from the security company's negligence or their employees' negligence. Okay,
yes,
to
sir.
That extent,
yes, sir.
You get a duty to defend, you get a duty to indemnify. Their response is very simple. Well, there is no extent to which the comparative fault of the plaintiff here will ever implicate a dollar of liability. Therefore, it's not to any extent.
I think that's completely irrelevant, Justice Kelsey. I think Connecticut's comparative fault regime does not control here. One, the contract, Article 30, is very clear. It's interpreted under Virginia law without looking at Virginia.
It can be, I agree with you, comparative contrib, it doesn't matter. This contrib, it doesn't matter either.
Right.
But when you say that the to the extent can't mean what it arguably literally means, to the extent, then the whole indemnity clause fails. I can envision an easy hypothetical where it applies very easily, which is a co-employee of this guy, you know, spills the oil out, the guy slips on it, and Dominion's liability is it didn't clean the oil up and didn't monitor their own space, right?
Right.
And let's say the plaintiff is not liable at all for whatever reason. Well, you would get 100% indemnity under that clause. And that seems like the intent of the clause.
Right.
And the reason why is because if you got sued, you would be jointly and severally liable. You wouldn't be able to back out the negligence of the security company's employee because of joint and several liability, comparative fault doesn't apply to that.
Right.
But you find yourself in a situation, the odd situation, where you can never be liable in this suit for anything other than your negligence. Not a single percent of negligence of the security company or their employees can implicate your liability. I don't understand why that's... Why am I missing something? Because you obviously think I am.
Well, yes, sir, I do. I think if you look at the first to the extent, and then you look... So that's the first sentence in Article 15. If you look at the second sentence of Article 15, it says, supplier will not be liable under this indemnity article for any injuries, deaths, or damage to the extent that they are caused by an indemnity's gross negligence or willful misconduct.
So?
So I think in terms of how we interpret to the extent, I think it should be interpreted as an if-then type statement. And if, and I think under the Brandenburg complaint, which I don't think the Eight Corners rule applies, and we can address that if you would like, but I think if you look at the indemnity provision in Article 15, it provides a very broad duty to Securitas to defend, indemnify, and hold Dominion harmless in any manner arising out of or in connection with disagreement, the supplier's breach of this agreement, personal injury or death, property damage, or violation of law.
That would be great if it said that, but the first sentence says, to the extent arising from their negligence, which is the qualifier that I'm looking at.
Right. I think I understand your point, but I think it, in terms of how you define to the extent, I would say to the extent, especially when you look at the second sentence, should be defined as if a claim arises from the negligence, gross negligence, or willful misconduct of a supplier, a subcontractor, or their employee.
Okay, I promise you this is the last time I'm going to ask the same question.
Yes, sir.
To what extent is Dominion liable for their negligence in this case? To what extent is the power company liable for the security company's negligence or their employees' negligence? To what extent? Not if, but to what extent?
To what extent Dominion is liable?
Right.
Well, we're not liable.
Right.
So to
no extent. You're right. Not liable to any extent.
Correct.
So their negligence, in this case, doesn't create any liability to any extent.
It doesn't create any liability in terms of an indemnity, but it certainly creates a duty to defend Dominion if their employee sues Dominion.
Well, you don't have to defend against something you have zero duty to indemnify. If it's not a conceivable theory that could implicate a duty to indemnify, you don't have a duty to defend.
Well, it's not. Dominion has no liability here. Justice Kelsey. I would say Securitas potentially has liability because of the provisions of Article 15.
Okay. Fair enough. Keep back on your argument. I'm sorry.
No, sir. That's quite all right. And I apologize if I am missing the thrust of your question. You know, I think in terms of looking at this, we've talked about Article 15, and I think Article 15 is clear that it provides a very broad shift of risk from Dominion to Securitas under the terms of that provision. And then if you look at the other provisions of the contract, I think they support Dominion's reading of Article 15. Article 30A, as we discussed briefly, states that the contract is governed by Virginia law. Article 30G states that Securitas assumed complete responsibility for all of its employees, including Brandenburg. Article 4 states that not just Securitas, but also any subcontractor employed by Securitas must adhere to the indemnity and insurance provisions of Articles 15 and 16. Article 9E states that Securitas had examined and was aware of the work conditions, including the uncertainties of the weather. Article 13 outlines the warranties that Securitas made to Dominion, including the warranties regarding its training of employees like Brandenburg. And then Article 16 requires Securitas to obtain and maintain insurance, which names Dominion as an insured. And I think when you look at Article 15 in conjunction with Article 16, it's very clear that this was a liability-shifting contract. So that if any claims were brought against Dominion, Securitas had to step in and defend Dominion and indemnify Dominion and hold it harmless. And then finally, Article 28 outlines the safety procedures that Securitas was required to implement in training its employees. So we think the indemnification provision is clear that the duty to defend Dominion is triggered the moment a threat is made that falls within the terms of Article 15. We think the Brandenburg complaint falls within the terms of Article 15 and that Securitas was required to defend Dominion in Connecticut. I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time.
Mr. Justice, may I please the court? Jim Walker, Brandon Sieg, on behalf of Securitas. I agree with many of the things Mr. Lofton has put forward. A, this is not an insurance case. We both have relied in a brief on insurance principles, and to some extent, since an insurance contract is indemnity by nature and this is an indemnity, there is overlap. But it is not an insurance case where you have the policy implications of the duty to defend being broader than the duty to indemnify in play. Secondly, I would agree that this is a broad indemnity. It is intentionally broad. I would agree also that it is intended to shift liability. That is the reason why you have indemnity provisions, is to allocate as between the party to the contract who's going to pay for what in the event of a loss. All of those things being said, it doesn't apply to this case. We are litigating the Brandenburg complaint, and whether the Brandenburg complaint is the type of instance to which this indemnity applies. Whether it applies to any number of other hypothetical situations is fine, and I'm sure that it does. The Brandenburg complaint is a plaintiff versus defendant slip and fall. She was on patrol at the Dominion facility. She alleges in her complaint that Dominion had neglected to remove snow and ice from the prior storm. It snowed again, covering up the debris on her patrol path. She slipped and broke her ankle, and she sued Dominion, and only Dominion, affirmatively alleged that she had used due care. So the complaint, the threat, the trigger for the indemnity, if there's going to be one, has to be her complaint. That's the only thing that has been brought forward that would trigger an obligation by Securitas. Is there anything in that complaint that alleges that we were negligent? And that's not what it says. The only way we get to the issue of her comparative negligence or contributory negligence is a defensive pleading that's been brought forward. And the problem, as Justice Kelsey has identified, is that the way that Connecticut law works, and this is not contested by Dominion, Dominion can never be liable for anything other than its own share. There will never be a situation in which Dominion will, there will ever be any extent to which Securitas or Securitas' employee exposes Dominion to liability. So the proportional language that Dominion chose, and this is we're not going to rewrite their contract. We're not going to change the word to the extent to if and then. If we're going to apply the contract the way that it's written, it has to be applied exactly as Judge Johnson did in Chesapeake County Circuit Court. There's an extent. It has to mean something, right? And what it says is that to the extent that the claim, which would be the Randburg complaint, arises from the negligence of Securitas, we have an obligation to indemnify or defend. And it is entirely possible that in another scenario where Dominion and Securitas are co-defendants, that instead of being an employee on the snowy path, it's a patron or a guest or an invitee or a regular pedestrian who sues them both. And in that instance, as Justice Kelsey noted, there would be an obligation to clearly be triggered by the complaint. And it would clearly be one that would require a defense and a full indemnity. But that's not this case.
But the language is much broader than the complaint. I mean, it's claims, demands, lawsuits, or other proceedings brought or threatened by any party. Well, Dominion's a party, and so they've alleged the employee herself was negligent. So. What do we do with that language?
Well, that's essentially that self-triggering. And that's not the argument that they made in the trial court. The argument that they made in the trial court and here is that the threat or claim is Ms. Brandenburg's claim. It's that complaint and that complaint alone that's the trigger. They haven't argued that this is, to the extent they've talked about their defensive pleas, they've talked about it in the context of the Coppin Nationwide case,
right,
where you got an exception to an exclusion that is, the opinion is not entirely clear how that comes up, but it allows that case to go forward on a defensive pleadings, a defensive theory of self-defense. The problem with that analysis is that in order for the COP analysis to apply, to work in the COP case, there has to have been an occurrence, right? The insurance policies are occurrence triggered. So the court had to have found, although it's not expressly stated in the opinion, that there was an occurrence in the COP complaint. And therefore, the other four corners that you look at after you look at the four corners of the complaint is the four corners of the insurance contract, which included an exclusion and an exception that both have to mean something. In this case, for the reasons that Justice Kelsey's pointed out, there is no occurrence to begin with. There is no allegation of negligence of Securitas in the triggering document, in the complaint, if you will. So we don't get to the exception to an exclusion type analysis of COP where you're looking beyond the eight corners rule. So I don't think that analysis works here. We are here filed as a breach of contract, declaratory judgment action in the circuit court, and the motion for partial summary judgment that Dominion brought, it was denied, and one of their assignments of error is the denial of that motion, was that if Securitas was seeking a declaration that if Securitas owes any indemnity, it owes all of the indemnity. That was one of the two items that they sought in the motion for summary judgment. The other is that there's a duty to defend the Connecticut case, and that was the posture that was presented to Judge Johnson. The argument that that the only way that an express indemnity can work is if it includes everything is not Virginia law. They rely on Safeway case, which was distinguishing between an express indemnity, a contract when you agree to indemnify somebody, and implied indemnity or contribution. And in that case, the contract that was written actually said you're going to indemnify me for everything. There is absolutely no basis in Virginia law to advance an argument that when you use the word indemnity, it can only mean one thing, and that is...
You can contractually say it means whatever you want to say it means, as long
correct.
As the contract says it.
Well, in an insurance contract, even though this is not an insurance case, it's not an agreement to pay everything. It's an agreement to pay everything up to a certain limit. You're only limited by your creativity and the willingness of the other side as to how you want to define when you're going to indemnify, how much you're going to indemnify, how you're going to share that indemnity. It's a matter of what you contract for.
Counsel, what does the sentence, supplier will not be liable under this indemnity article for any injuries, et cetera, caused by an indemnity's gross negligence or willful misconduct in the same in the indemnity clause? Does that mean that they will be liable for injuries caused by negligent conduct?
I believe what they're saying here is Dominion is saying that our indemnity is broad, which it is. You're going to indemnify us for lots of things and lots of circumstances. But the one exception to your obligation, Securitas, to indemnifying us is if we are grossly negligent or willfully have engaged in willful misconduct. In that circumstance and in that circumstance alone, you will not have to indemnify us at all. If we, Dominion, and you, Securitas, are both negligent, you pick up the entire tab. Is the way this
you is being Securitas?
Yes. In the event
if you're both negligent,
if they're both liable for negligent conduct, something other than gross negligence or willful misconduct of Dominion.
So if Securitas employee is negligent and Dominion is negligent, does this mean that Securitas will indemnify?
It could. In the situation, what this contemplates, I believe, is a third-party plaintiff, a pedestrian on the walkway in this case, or somebody who gets assaulted. You know, our folks aren't doing a very good job providing security, and they're both sued.
Or they do too good of a job.
Or they do too good of a job. But they're both sued. They're both on the left side of the V. In that situation, Dominion will be defended and indemnified by Securitas against that allegation that they're both negligent. The issue here is that the particular type of claim here just doesn't fit in the language that they chose. And it's not the trial court's job or this court's job to rewrite the contract. You know, one of the things that struck me in preparing for this is that we have devoted hundreds of pages of briefing to three words, and it shouldn't be that difficult to figure out what to the extent means and how it applies. It should mean exactly what it says it means. And there's been no claim that this is an ambiguous contract, so we are applying the usual rules of construction, that words chosen by the parties will be given the ordinary and proper meaning to the extent arising out of a negligence can only mean, in the context of an indemnity, that it is that if they're not negligent, there's no extent to indemnify. I'm struck also by the Safeway case that's been cited for other purposes by Dominion, in which the indemnity clause is probably more like what Dominion wishes they had for this case. The indemnity clause there didn't have that language of to the extent or anything in proportion. It simply says if there's a claim that involves the handling of material on our premises, you own it. We don't. So that it was drafted in a way that it would be, it wasn't tied to negligence or to whose negligence. It had to do with the activities involved. And that is a way you would draft this kind of a contract if you have these kinds of claims in mind. But they didn't. So before this court is this contract in the context of a particular lawsuit in a particular jurisdiction where there's never been an argument from Dominion that it will ever owe more than its share. Thank you.
Rebuttal.
I think in terms of looking at this, Justice Kelsey, to go back to our colloquy, this is a breach of contract case. And so in looking at Article 15, you know, what Mr. Walker talks about is only the Brandenburg complaint. But in the context of breach of contract case...
Okay, let's look at the answer. The answer.
I'm sorry?
Let's look at the answer. The answer says the plaintiff's negligent. And we know, and it's undisputed, that that will not to any extent create liability for Dominion.
But we don't know that at this point.
Yes, we do. Comparative fault as a matter of law does not permit liability in for the plaintiff's share of the negligence. We do know that. It's a legal question. It's not a factual question. Am I wrong? Tell me why I'm wrong. You're looking at me with a blank stare.
Well, no, but under Virginia law, in terms of looking at this provision and the duty to defend Dominion in the Connecticut proceeding, this is not just an agreement to indemnify.
Right. Duty to defend, though, never extends, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, if there is zero duty to indemnify. Duty to defend is there may be some duty to indemnify, and you got to defend it until we find out.
In the insurance coverage dispute context.
Well,
yes,
I mean, I'm giving
correct.
You the benefit of the doubt, but there, because it's not an insurance policy, but even if it were, I don't know why your argument still works.
Well, but that's not what this provision says. This provision says that Securitas will defend, indemnify, and hold Dominion harmless if this qualifies as a claim.
No, so to the extent the negligence creates the liability of Dominion. That's what it says. Why do you keep not going to the extent? Isn't that the crucial issue in the case?
Well, I don't think to the extent is the crucial issue. It is part of the issue, but it's in terms of what to the extent means, I think it's a simple if-then. So if Ms. Brandenburg, if the complaint that she filed was based in part on her negligence or Securitas's negligence, then that will trigger the claim. But we don't look just to the Brandenburg complaint because Dominion, you know, deduced its own evidence, which the Chesterfield Circuit Court did not hear.
But how does she sue Dominion based upon her negligence? How do you trigger a claim against Dominion based upon her negligence? She's the plaintiff.
She put her conduct at issue in her complaint by alleging that she was exercising due care. And in the course of discovery in the Connecticut proceedings, Dominion learned that she was not exercising due care and that Securitas violated other provisions of the contract, including the warranty provision and the safety provision, by not training Ms. Brandenburg appropriately. And so, and that's why I think it's important to look at this contract in context. It's not just Article 15, but the duties and responsibilities Securitas has all come into play and give rise to a duty to defend Dominion in Connecticut. Thank you very much. We ask for the judgment of the court below to be reversed.
The court will be in recess until 20 minutes till noon.